Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Thank you, Dave. And here we are, Thursday, a couple of days after Valentine's Day. Sure hope yours was great. You know, we are going to definitely call Valentine's Day in our part of Baltimore and D.C. Singles Awareness Day from now on. Hey, next year it may be all different. Who knows? For those of you paired up, wonderful. For those of us who are not equally wonderful, we'll wait. Thank you very much. But you won't have to wait for great music today. My goodness, I don't know what it was about planning this show today, but there's a different sort of vibe. Maybe it's because of our guest, Mark Mosley, Baltimore's own, who's really captured some national and international attention with his TLC CD. Can't wait to talk to Mark and find out what's going on, besides the fact that he's going to be playing at the Mid-Atlantic Jazz Festival this weekend. Yay! We've got some really cool music, a definite hybrid combination of silky, straight, fused, functified, whatever you want to call it. It's really cool, domestic and global as well. Let's start off something classic, shall we? Love to do that. It's Charlie Parker, and it's from Charlie Parker with Strings. He considered this one of his best efforts, you'll see. Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
Let the music.
Oh, gracious. Hopefully you have some good memories of that particular song and a whole bunch of good memories because of the artist, Smokey Robinson. Mercy sakes alive. Just saw a picture of him at his website. My, looking good for being 72 come the 19th. That's just a few days away. Now, honestly, I was thinking that maybe he was older than that, but maybe I'm just getting a little sensitive because as I approach 60, 72 doesn't appear to be all that old. You know, it's all perspective. Cruising from Where There's Smoke from 1979, 1980. That was his biggest hit since Tears of a Clown. My God, those Motown years. He will never have to worry about money, that's for sure. Just churned out so many hits as part of Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, and then by himself. And I don't know what kind of deal he's got cooking with Cracker Barrel, but if you go to the website, you'll see that his new piece, Now and Then, is only available at Cracker Barrel. There's some money in that regard, because Smokey loves what he does, that's for sure. But he is a very shrewd businessman. God bless him. Happy birthday to you, Smokey. We heard from P.J. Spraggins. Actually, if you want to know the truth, it's jamespjspraggins.com if you want to know more information. Brand spanking new CD called Pure Logic. We heard the title track. I just love that song. PJ is from Birmingham, Alabama, and actually I got to know him via our mutual good friend Tracy Hamlin, who will be here with us on Tuesday, by the way. They have collaborated on a number, and actually with a song, too. The song is called Better Days, and it's on Tracy's CD, also on PJ's CD. PJ, born in Birmingham. Actually, I don't know if he was born in Birmingham, but that's where he resides. And I just love the fact that besides being a drummer, he's a writer and producer and an absolute great guy. My gosh, he has really surrounded himself with some excellent people. And whenever you see him live, it is unbelievable the sound that these guys put out. Matter of fact, if you are going to be in the Birmingham, Alabama area tomorrow night, he's going to be, let's see, with, Saxman Kelly O'Neill at Ona's Music Room, which is going to be really, really cool. We heard, too, from Charlie Parker. Charlie's Just Friends, God bless him, from Charlie Parker with Strings, 1949, 1950 or thereabouts, and actually in 1995, Verve released them on CD with added tracks from a couple of occasions, including live recordings. Charlie, honestly, the more that I read about him, what a short but bebop full life, fast, improvised, and virtuoso-based, honest to goodness. This is a very unusual website, but if you go to cmgww.com, that's where you're going to find out a lot of information. Died at the age of 34, and at one point, I just read this, every time I look to see more on research about Charlie, there's something else. For 3 to 4 years, he was practicing about 15 hours a day, every day. That's crazy, but you see that style he has. I mean, so many people were influenced, not just sax players, but musicians, period, influenced by Charlie Parker. And, man, that track is just evidence, Just Friends. Let's move along. Mark Mosley coming your way at 3 o'clock Eastern time today. And, of course, maybe you'll hear this in archives, at which point it won't matter, but the music sure does. Grover Washington Jr., God rest his soul. Hard to believe he's gone. Died in 1999. Matter of fact, he was in the green room of CBS. He had just taped a few songs for the CBS show that morning, and he collapsed. And, man, when you think about the body of work and the energy and the kindness and the spirit he conveyed, it's just hard for some folks to grasp, especially in our hometown of Philly. This is actually recorded at the Bijou at that time, back in 1977. Grover Washington Jr., Summer Song on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you. qualquer maneira, vai passar. De qualquer maneira, de qualquer maneira, vou ficar.
Definitely in that vibe today. Woohoo! Don't know where it's going. Oh, that was so cool. The gal's name is Luka Mundaca, MUNDACA.com. Has more information, although a little mysterious Luka is. The song was called Hadias from Brazilian Lounge. God bless Putumayo, the record label that does so well in trying to expose different jazz-based artists all over the world. There's a number of genres that they feature, but man, I originally got a hold of the sound of Luka via this very cool Jazz Is compilation from mid-2000s. Actually, Brazilian Lounge is what Luka was on in 2006. Then next year, 2007, she was on another Putumayo compilation called Women of the World. But I got this jazzes.com compilation in 2007. This lady was born in Chile, moved to Brazil, and she taught herself guitar at a very early age, songwriter as well. Lovely accolades, but there's not a whole lot coming from that camp right now. So keep your fingers crossed that we hear more from her. There's a very compelling sound that she has, as does the gentleman that you heard right before, Luis Munoz. How many times have we played Luis on this show? And there will be more. His music has been described as a warm embrace. I couldn't think of anything better. He's just one of those soulful visionaries, born in Costa Rica, lives on the coast of California now, and the breadth of his music is pretty expansive. Classical, that was his training, and she certainly fell in love with a lot of soulful arrangements as he was growing up. Of course, I was classical, delved into jazz, and then all of that is mixed in. What you heard was Adam's Dream from Invisible. He's working on a new CD, and we'll let you know as soon as that's out. With him, it's like a birthing process. Everything has to be just right, and he insists on everybody around him being live in the studio so that it has that sharper edge, that feel. The chemistry with all of the musicians involved is just really unsurpassed. If you get a hold of Invisible, you will thank me. I am not kidding. Go to Luis, LuisMunoz.net, and you'll be able to get the CD from there. Grover Washington Jr. and Company, Summer Song from Live at the Bijou in the mid-70s in Philadelphia with his octet. That was some Philly funk. P-H-I-L-L-Y-P-H-U-N-K. Grover, you know, I'm not sure if you knew about this or not, but Grover was real instrumental in making sure that Kenny G came to be, and Najee pulled a lot of inspiration from Grover. It continues to this day. Grover was doing such wonderful work as far as contributions, mentorship to kids in the area. He made sure that he was available for anybody who wanted to take the time to pick his brain. And, man, these guys know firsthand how much Grover Washington Jr. meant to Philadelphia. These are my friends, the group Abstract Truth, collectively. Every single one of them is a gas. And I'm proud to say, I guess I'm about one of the first to get a hold of this new CD, which is called I'll Bring You Flowers Every Day. And I know that G. Lawrence Francis and the guys have worked very hard to make this third CD come to pass. And I really gravitated to this track. See if you do too. Five on the Backhand Side from Abstract Truth, brand new. Mark Mosley comes your way at the 3 o'clock Eastern Time hour here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
Oh, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, my golly, she is really being hybrid-y today. Yes. That is the kind of song, honestly, you don't know what happened or what hit you after you've heard it. All you know is that a child has come forth 9 months later. That's the kind of song it is. And it was the first time around when Ready for the World did it in 1999. But no, that's the former Michelle Johnson. Doesn't ring a bell? Well, let me get ready to do this because I have practiced. You don't know how much I have practiced to say this word. Michelle, that's no problem. She changed it from Michelle to Michelle. Endege Ocello. Endege Ocello. I love that. She changed it at the age of 17 to reflect peace in Swahili. And Lord, my God, this child has had some roads to journey on, this Lady Michelle. Love You Down, the name of that song from 2009's Devil's Halo CD. Actually, Michelle is still based in the D.C. area, though her journey has taken her far and wide. Oh, thankfully, all that you would want to know is, well, no, not all, because she couldn't possibly have all of it on her website, but she did a really smart thing. It's Meshell.com to know more. She absolutely fascinates me. She's going to be at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame tomorrow night. I wish I could go to Cleveland just for that. Her new one called Weather came out in November 2011. Michelle is looking really... she blends in with the crowd these days. That never used to be the scenario. Michelle was really instrumental in making that go-go scene in D.C. pop some years ago, and she has made a lot pop on that bass. That was such a cool arrangement of that song. It's just so doggone sexy. I mean, we're talking about this in the chat room, okay? Just one of those tracks that leaves you breathless, especially if you're listening closely and there's this whisper in your ear. Wow, 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 wow. Wow, wow. It's just so intriguing. Michelle, one more time. Endege Ocello. Love that. Terry Lynn Carrington, Grammy Award winner, Best Vocal Jazz Performance for her ensemble work on Mosaic Project. That was Mosaic Triad. I would be here all day if I told you the personnel yet again on the CD. Really, honestly, just go and buy the thing because your ears will be in such aural, A-U-R-A-L, bliss that you will not be able to stand it. There is everything from straight ahead to contemporary, fused. The vocals are unbelievable, and who is vocalizing will just knock your socks off. We have done this time and time again. Terry Lynn Carrington has been on Cool Jazz Conversations, and by the way, Cool Jazz Conversations comes back in March. Thank you very much. Joy Hall and I will be talking about that on Monday. We're going to have a little lunch and figure out what we're going to do. Miss Lorraine is back at home. Thank you, Jesus. So things are really looking up, thank God. Woohoo! Abstract Truth, we heard from Philadelphia, with G. Lawrence Francis on bass once again. Personnel, let me tell you about these guys because they're all buddies. Roy Richardson Jr. on soprano sax, and also Scott Coulter on piano. Sultan Akbar on drums. Love him so much. Woo! My goodness. Who else? Jesse Andrus, yes. And there's some guys that I don't know as well. Ian McDougall, also Chappie Washington, and Toke Jones. All in all, this CD, brand new, and you can get it via abstracttruthmusic.com to find out a whole bunch more. They better have that website updated. Mark Mosley comes your way at the top of next hour. I'm looking forward to this so much. And looking forward to playing you another classical piece. Are you ready for this? You got to have some Freddie Hubbard every now and then, don't you think? One of the masters, true masters on the trumpet. This is his debut on Blue Note. Get ready, 1960. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, One Mint Julep.
Thank you. fortune smiled and came my way, bringing love I never thought I'd see. I'm so lucky to be me. What a night. Suddenly you came inside, looking just the way I hoped you'd be. Thunderstruck at this change in my love. You at one side wanted you, never thought you'd want me. You chose me out from the crowd. There's no other guy I'd rather be. I could shout out loud, I'm so lucky. Chose me out from the crowd. There's no other guy I'd rather be. I could shout out loud, I'm so lucky.
Oh my, yeah. Yeah, that's one of the albums that really did it for me in 2011. And you know what? You just have to realize that it's a chemical reaction sometimes when you hear certain songs and they throw you back into the past and you are frozen in time to a scenario where everything was good. All would be well, there was hope in the air, and you were happy. And that's what Rick Braun does to me from Rick Braun Sings with Strings. That was Lucky to Be Me. Oh, there are some serious chestnuts on here. He is so channeling that Allentown boy, his inner Chet Baker. Bless his heart. Love to hear him sing. I do. Used to sing back up for Sade. Come on now. And then when he plays that trumpet, just was in a trumpet frame of mind when planning the show today, so I had to play that song. And I have to tell you that if you didn't know this, if you're one of these people who are fortunate enough to go to these different festivals, I know that Linda and Griselda and Kim and I were talking about the Berks Jazz Fest coming up very shortly, actually next month. Well, Rick is going to be again at Desert Ridge Jazz in April, and some really good folks are going to be there. He's also going to be at Berks, and we're going to be hearing a lot about St. Lucia, because the executive planner for that little soiree each year is Tracy Hamlin, and she'll be on the show on Tuesday. Can't wait to hear about that. Mm-hmm. Hiroshima! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, John Chung, for being so sweet and sending me this wonderful CD. Lots of new tunes, two rebrings, if you will, A Thousand Cranes, one of my all-time favorite songs, and One Wish on this. But you are going to hear some serious music. And one of the pieces that you'll hear, I just got thrown off, honestly. There is, let me see this name if I can, Tetsuyo Nakamura, who is a harmonica virtuoso on here. And as well, you know, Dan and June and Kimo and Danny and Dean and Shoji Kamida doing his throat singing. He does it on one of these songs here, and I can't say enough. I mean, I am in love with Departure. That is the name of the CD, and it's available at iTunes, Amazon, and HiroshimaMusic.com. It's follow-up to, of course, Legacy. And I'm telling you, Hiroshima is it for me, as you probably knew. So since telling you again, the song that you heard is called See You Again. And just from the song titles, you know there's something special. Koto Cruz, Have You Ever Wondered? Yamasong Duet, First Nation, really proud, strong. June is just amazing on Koto. She always is, but you'll have to get the CD. That's all there is to it. I'm really pitching the music today because there's so many great songs. Freddie Hubbard, come on. One Mint Julep from Open Sesame, 1960. During the 60s, Freddie Hubbard on that illustrious, prolific trumpet was a leader, a lot, eight times as a leader, and then 28 times in his legacy with Blue Note as a sideman. In the 70s, it was a whole other story. He came under the auspices of Creed Taylor on CTI, the record label, and things just exploded. I mean to tell you, just knows how to do everything. Sam Jones, Tina Brooks, Clifford Jarvis, and McCoy Tyner on that album. 1960, man. And I have to do this as an aside because we're always talking about support for jazz. Freddie Hubbard had said that, you know, going through some times, some challenges in his life, the Jazz Foundation of America came through a few ways for him, and he was public about that. JazzFoundation.org has more information. Maybe you can support that effort. I really thank them for what they did for Freddie because that organization made him happy. FreddieHubbardMusic.com, one of his sons, who misses him so much, is really good at keeping that website up. So go and enjoy the legacy of Freddie Hubbard. Let's get some more music, shall we? Yeah. And you know that Mark Mosley, guitarist extraordinaire, coming your way at the top of next hour. We were talking in the chat room about Kyle Eastwood and the fact that the festival that his dad used to take him to all the time when he was little, when he was learning how to play bass, Monterey Jazz Festival, Kyle's going to be there in September. How cool is that, huh? Yeah. We got to dip back a little bit into Songs from the Chateau, Kyle Eastwood and Andalusia on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. There. Mercy sakes alive. You know that if you've been listening to the show for any length of time, there was a show, it was right before 11-11-11, as a matter of fact, because Michael Franks was on. On that same show, zip, 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 1 hour was Slim Min, 1 hour was Michael Franks, and another hour belonged to Carla Chisholm. She is just a delight, based in the Baltimore area. But, Lord, you know that that voice belongs to the world. Losing Control, from Carla's CD. And you can go to Carla Chisholm, CHISHOLM.com. It's a beautiful website. She's going to be at a number of dates in this exquisite place in Baltimore called Mealy, M-E-L-I, which is, you'll excuse the expression, the shiggity as far as upscale ventures are concerned in dining in the region. She is just so upscale herself, and that pain comes from a place. She'll tell you about it. She told us about it that day. She is a beautiful girl, and she's got a lot to say with her music. A lot of people are paying attention to what's happening with Carla, and I would imagine as 2012 unfolds, it's going to be really amazing. Moving on, the name of the CD, Losing Control, is what you just heard. Omar Sosa, Latra, from Mulatos. Love to say the man's name. Cuban composer, band leader, and pianist who just won last year an award at the Independent Music Awards ceremony for the jazz album category for his work with a project called Ceremony. Mercy, I did not know. I mean, I've had this album in my possession for a while, but I didn't know he was just going to be 47 this year. I thought he was older, just because he's got that old soul thing about him. 2004 is the year for Mulatos, and Omar picked up a lot of different kinds of cross-cultural, how shall we say, musical emissions in the air as he was being raised in Cuba, and then he went to Ecuador, and now he's in San Francisco. And actually, I heard about him via a compilation that my nephew sent to me several years ago, the San Francisco Jazz Festival, the 23rd annual. And man, there are some good cats and kitties on this CD, but this track just stood out. He's got marimba-based, because that's what he learned first, and then he learned the piano. He's got a spiritual vibe to him. He's got this Afro-Cuban thing going on without, you know, smacking you. It's just real subtle. It's for real, authentic sound. Omar Sosa from Mulatos. And you can go to omarsosa.com, learn more about him. Just a very fascinating character. Kyle Eastwood is as well. I'm looking at KyleEastwood.com and seeing these dates unfold. There's more and more. He's coming to Sculler's in Boston really soon, I believe. Linda in Southern California, he will be at Catalina, where George Duke was on his birthday on January 12th. I'm hoping that he's coming to New York or D.C. or Philly or someplace, because we're chomping at the bit here. Andalusia is what you heard from Songs from the Chateau. And once again, we're trying to plan in the chat room here a little visit to the Monterey Jazz Festival in September, because Kyle's going to be there. And that will mean that Dad's going to be there too. So you can all congratulate Clint on what a great job he did on that commercial that everybody has not stopped talking about from the Super Bowl. That was really wonderful. All right, let's do our thing. Yeah, about 15 minutes or so, Mark Mosley comes your way. We'll hear some music from TLC from him. Right now, I'm telling you, it's all about trumpets today. I don't know what it is. We have to dig back a little bit. And actually, Joy Hall could tell you more about Blue Mitchell than I could, because there's some kinship there. Yeah, Joy. She's secretive about a whole lot of stuff, but I like to spill the beans. Soul Turnaround. Oh, my goodness. From 1973? Really? Blue Mitchell on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Yeah. talk about a soul turnaround. Here we go on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Love's got me high. Please tell me, yeah, and don't say no, honey, not tonight. I need to have you next to me and more. Thank you.
that just sneak up and take you over? I just love that song so much. Title track from Mark Mosley's CD, TLC. And you know, you heard Nancy Wilson right before that talk about some tender love and care. She did the Major Harris song, Love Won't Let Me Wait, from Love, Nancy. Yeah, 1994. How about that? I played Nancy Wilson especially, and I wanted to play it as one of the songs, that vocal that would just grab you right before Mark Mosley, because Nancy Wilson, or Miss Nancy Wilson, if you will, .com, that's where to find her, is going to be 75 on February 20th. Oh, Lord, I love that lady so much. Oh, my gosh. That 1994 for Love, Nancy, and I couldn't help but just be struck about the fact that we played Blue Mitchell. You talk about one of those great soul, rock, funk, jazz artists. Man, The Last Tango Equal Blues from 1973 is a hit and a half, man. You have to hear that. Just amazing career. And one of the things that Nancy and Blue Mitchell, God rest his soul, he passed on in 1979, had in common was that they were picked out by Cannonball Adderley. Cannonball Adderley just means so much to so many of us. And there's my son on the cell phone. Can you hear? Everything is happening right now. Oh, the chat room's alive and well. And my gosh, we've heard some great music. And now it's time to turn our attention to one of the gentlemen who you need to hear more about. You just heard TLC, and that was from Mark Mosley, and he is with me right now. Man alive, are you busy these days, Mark Mosley? How the heck are you?
Hello, Trish. First of all, thanks a lot for having me on your show. I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm great, and I know that you are so busy. Oh, my gosh, and tomorrow is going to be even more busy. Tell us about that. I'm so excited for you.
My band will perform at the Mid-Atlantic Jazz Festival located in Rockville, Maryland, at the Hilton Executive Conference Center.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And what time is that?
At 9 p.m.
9 p.m. That's so cool because this is the bomb. I mean, the Mid-Atlantic Jazz Festival is it. Is this your first time playing this, Mark?
Yes, it is.
Wow, how excited are you?
To tell you the truth, I take all of my gigs seriously.
Yes, so I know you do.
You know, so it's just basically another gig to me. Believe me, it's about being centered and focused. And so I have to, I'm hoping that the spirit gets involved through the gentleman, Jesse Moody on drums.
Oh, good.
Mitchell Coates on bass.
Yay.
And Derek Thompson on keyboards.
Wonderful,
and
wonderful.
So the thing is with our music is it's about teamwork. It's not solely about me per se. I depend on all the factors and just hope that everything blends in like it has before.
Oh, well, listen, I can tell you, folks, right now, you know, a couple of Fridays ago, I had no idea that when I walked into City View, which is one of these clubs that always pops, and I was there for a birthday party, and I thought, oh, my God, the band sounds awesome. And I turned around, and here's you. Here's you front and center playing guitar, and I was so pleasantly surprised. And then I saw your beautiful wife, Michelle. Happy birthday to Michelle.
You know, something I was going to ask you if I could mention that, and I'll say happy birthday to her also. And I am very indebted to her support.
Oh, my gosh. Let me tell you something, Mark. I have told a number of people through the years, Michelle is one of the more beautiful women I have ever seen, and you are so blessed because she is as beautiful on the inside as she is on the outside. She makes sure that everybody knows about Mark Mosley. You know that.
Well, she's a great partner in life, and
she
I'm very blessed. You know, just the basics are covered within her, the spirituality and the love of family.
Yeah, I can tell. She's real, real warm. And she made it a point to come up to me a couple of Fridays ago and just give me a big old bear hug. And she, there's always, Michelle is one of those women, and I guess you're spoiled when you're around people now, Mark, because she is so authentic. There's not a phony bone in her body. So when she tells you that she's happy to see you, she's happy to see you.
You honed in or homed in on that point. You're right. You're exactly right. There's nothing like the real deal.
Oh, man. You know that. And that's what your music is all about. I was really, you know what, I listened to TLC the first time around and I thought, hey, this is really cool. But you know what, when you hear it a second or third time, you're really into it. I really dig the title track so much. And of course, you know that there's a couple of favorites of mine on here. How did TLC get to be, Mark? Tell us that story.
Well, I give credit to my my late mother, my brother-in-law, and my sister for helping me out with this in a number of ways, which I won't go into detail, but if it were not for the people I've just mentioned, the project would have never taken form.
Really?
Yes, it was just divine order.
Oh, we know about that, and that's a whole big story. How did you find out about divine order, by the way?
Well, there's a mentor of mine throughout the years named Whit Williams, which some of the listening audience may know.
Yes.
Whit Williams is a retired educator from the Baltimore City Public School System, and by the way, he was at the Fort Bragg Army Band station, which I was too. So we have that bond in common. We were both paratroopers.
Wow.
But he was there many, many years before me during the days of segregation. I think Whit's about 81 or 82 now.
I think that's probably right, because Whit and I had a chance to meet a few years ago and spend a little time together. Haven't spent that time since, but, you know, he was looked at this function as the elder, as the wise man, so I think you're probably right.
Well, to answer your question, he hit me to a concept about divine order. But before I go elaborate about that,
yeah.
I'd like to mention the fact that here's a man that hung out with Charlie Parker for 3 hours, who Thelonious Monk visited, and he's best friends with Jimmy Heath. So
wow.
Some of the purists out there, hopefully you'll recognize those names.
Oh, definitely. I just played Charlie Parker a little while ago. Yes, sir. We know.
it's always amazing to me to speak with people that have known these individuals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whit.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, well, if one thing comes out of this conversation, can it just rub off on me a little bit? Okay. Now to answer your question, Whit Williams sat me down one day and he said, "Now, man, this might sound strange, but this old cat came to me once." I guess he was, much younger at the time. And he said, I'm going to tell you what he told me. I want you to say divine order 7 times. Thank you, God. Let's see. Divine order, divine order, divine order, divine order, divine order, divine order, divine order. I want divine order in my life. Thank you, God. And that's all you have to do.
Yes.
And, well, we had just, the day before I started this, several years ago now, we had just done our taxes, and we received a call from the tax person that they had made a mistake, and we were owed at least $2,000
more. Wow.
Okay, now, you can say that's a coincidence, But to me, in my mind, I'm saying it's working.
Yes. Oh, look, you know, you've had this conversation before, Mark. There's no such thing in some of our worlds as coincidence. That's just a euphemism made by the world. Coincidence is something that is supposed to happen. You're supposed to meet the person that you're supposed to meet. You look on a given day at what happens in that day, and you don't come across something by accident 9 times out of 10. You're supposed to pay attention to the signs that are in front of you. And Whit was telling me that day too.
Well, there have been quite a few other incidents that I won't necessarily elaborate on, but I want to share something that happened to someone else whom I shared that with.
Okay.
This person was a bartender. I was playing at the club, and this guy was down on his luck as to finding another job. He needed the bread. He needed to move up financially. So I shared with him what I've shared with you and the listening audience. And lo and behold, the next week, we played again at this particular location. And he said, man, I got to tell you something on your break. He pulls me aside and says, man, look, I did what you said. He said, I got the job that I wanted the next day. And a girlfriend who he hadn't seen for several months or maybe a few years calls him from Europe.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. So I'm looking at him. I'm not totally surprised at all because, you know, by that time I've had quite a few interventions.
Yes.
On my behalf. And I was just happy to receive confirmation of something that I already experienced.
Right. That's something. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. There's power in saying certain words. And,
right.
You know, when you're putting faith behind those words, that's huge. So, folks who are listening, please pay heed to that. Divine order 7 times. And then what did you say after divine order 7 times, Mark?
Let's do it again. Divine order.
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 I want divine order in my life. Thank you, God.
I want divine order in my life. Thank you, God. Love it. All right. And I had the first step memorized, but not the second part. Maybe I was just too caught up in knowing that I was involved with Whit Williams right in front of me, and I was mesmerized because that was a star-studded event where we were. You've been to a few in the past several months. My gosh, and this CD is doing well. Tell us about a couple of really cool things that have happened since TLC has been out, because I know there's been a few.
I'm
sorry to take it by surprise. You had a couple of interviews. Like one of them is a guitar magazine?
Oh, yes. Well, Just Jazz Guitar Magazine is probably undoubtedly the premier jazz guitar magazine that basically caters to the straight-ahead folks.
Yeah.
Now, I can say I've seen, as far as people of my persuasion, I've seen Bobby Broom, seen George Benson, I've seen Rodney Jones, Henry Johnson, and a whole bunch of other folks. So they can add my name to the list because not only was my CD reviewed in that magazine, my interview is coming out in the May issue.
That's fabulous. That's great. See, you've created, I mean, you've been around for so long, and you've been vocal about, you know, what you think is the state of jazz and how passionately involved. And you know what? People remember your name. So now that this CD is out, folks are really paying attention. I mean, I know that you're busy anyway because you're an educator as well as a supreme guitar player. But you just feel that 2012 is going to be awesome, don't you?
I feel that anything is possible, and I feel that as long as our hearts are pointed in the right direction, that would make things much more positive for all of us, not just for Mark Mosley, but for everyone that's in a situation that we've all found ourselves in at one time.
I hear you. And I think that that's happening. I think that people are slowly awakening and smelling the coffee. There's a lot that's going on that seems to be very hopeful. And that means people's consciousness being raised, too. I really feel that. And even with some tragedies happening, you know, Whitney Houston has been top of mind for me since Saturday. And just trying to snap out of it. My son actually said to me, you've got to snap out of it because you're getting really, really down. And I thought about it and realized that even though it's tragic for us that she's gone and things happen that are tragic, a million lives can turn around because of someone who has passed on. People can arise from their ashes and say, you know what, I really need to get myself together, and I need to make sure that I help other people and get my life straight. Do you think, Mark?
Exactly. And, you know, I've seen criticisms of whatever you want to call it, the airing of her death, but I'm thinking that I'm thinking more in line with what you said. I'm thinking that some people think that because someone is rich and famous or whatever, that they don't have problems,
right.
And I'm thinking that maybe by showing the sometimes there are lessons built in within tragedies as well as good things.
Yes.
And I would like to take the positive road and say, well, the lesson to me is it behooves me to be the best person I can be, not from a selfish standpoint, but from a hopefully a global perspective.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And just think about what can I do in my way, my little way, to promote harmony, teamwork, and a sense of wonderment and amazement at the possibilities.
That's right. That's right. And it needs to be said, and I'll get away from this because I'll start to go into a whole big discussion. But one of the best things that we could have seen about Whitney leaving us is from Bishop T.D. Jakes, who said that he saw her as producer of this movie that we'll all see in August called Sparkle. And Jordan Sparks from American Idol is in the movie, and she plays one of her daughters. Bishop Jakes said there was never a time where he saw her where she was anything less than professional and joyful and disciplined, and she loved making sure that these young female artists in particular who were coming up, she loved to see them blossom and shine. And she was in the studio in those last days. She wanted to make sure that Jordan Sparks' vocals popped because she wanted the best representation of what Jordan could be. And that was what Whitney Houston was all about. She was a person who loved other people. She loved life, and that's how we should remember her.
I agree in that. She certainly had the foundation. Her parents were very instrumental in it. So her time on this planet, it affected all of us, whether we know it or not.
That's right. You're right, Mark.
I remember seeing her and the other folks that had passed on, Ali Woodson, Michael Jackson, Barry White, you know, the Luther Vandross.
Yeah.
And so, I have a saying. We're looking from the outside, looking in, and then, boom, it's our turn. So
yep.
It behooves us to really try to be as positive and supportive of others. Which, by the way, I like to share other guitarists and musicians on my Facebook. I want the world to hear them. So in my little way, that's one of the ways I give back, because I would not be here and who I am without inspiration from others. You could say the supreme source or sources through humans.
And who are those inspirations for you, Mark? Because I'm not sure we ever discussed this in an earlier interview we did a couple of years ago.
Well, you know, most instrumentalists like to gravitate towards the person or persons that play the same instrument, but I find myself quite different in that initially I did because I had to learn the instrument to a point. And, well, that's a whole nother discussion, you know, learning enough to start it and then basically dropping as much influence as possible to go on to my own expression and my, hopefully my own sound.
Yeah.
And that's been quite a journey. But anyway, to my inspirations, well, today in the car, I was listening to symphonic music, listening to Sherbert. I'm in a state of wonderment and amazement at the possibilities. So the music presented itself in a form where I'm saying, wow, I never thought about harmonizing, you know, this with that, you know, in that direction, you know.
Yeah.
And because I'm saying that's a new sound. I've heard similar, but I heard something that was a little different. So, and I would like to think that's the same thing, process that happens with other musics, but harmony to me seems to be the big draw to me, as opposed to flash and going 5 million miles a second. I mean, cause, you know, if you do that, that'll only impress the musicians. We're here for the people.
Oh, that's a good point.
And so I had to get off my high horse after touring with Dr. Lonnie Smith and Lou Donaldson and working with Gary Bartz and Keeter Betts and several other folks. I learned that watching them, that their main thing is about communication. It's not about ego. It's not about showing how many 2-5-1 licks I've memorized. Or anything memorized. It's really about playing from the heart.
And
I know
nice.
That seems weird, but it takes a combination of head and heart, but after a point, it's about playing from the heart. And I really enjoy that because life has become so much more simpler. I mean, you have 12 notes made up that make up the chromatic scale. So as opposed to knowing scales and all this stuff that's tossed around in academic surroundings, I like to look at things from there's one scale, the chromatic scale. And each of those 12 tones has a characteristic. And you have the pretty notes, the dissonant notes. You have those sounds as well. I have a background of listening to the symphonic music, to James Brown, indigenous people's music. You know, rhythm.
Yes.
So, I mean, when I'm on stage, and then I might think, okay, there's Albert King who I saw live. You know, his spirit might talk to me through the music, or B.B. King, Freddie King, Albert Collins. I'm essentially a blues guitarist, a sophisticated blues guitarist that has chosen to become more scientific. And which has basically segued into me studying bebop and other musics because I studied classical trombone as well.
Oh, so my goodness, I didn't know that.
Right. I was a first and second trombonist in various military bands and situations of, you know, so I've had a lot of exposure to music. And by the way, I think that the tipping point for me was, as far as being a jazz musician, was when my high school band went to the Montreux Jazz Festival.
And you saw Les McCann and Eddie Harris, did you not?
I sure did. And I, you know, when I'd rather say I heard them, because seeing
right.
them, you know, I mean, because at that time music was more of an experience, you know. Whereas if we tend to go to shows, in my opinion, today, lots of times we hear things. Well, I saw this person, but in my day, the musicians were so individualistic that the sounds and their approaches were instantly recognizable.
That's right. Yes.
I experienced Les McCann, Roger Roland, Kirk, Oscar Peterson, David Fathead Newman. Did I say Eddie Harris?
Yeah, well, I did, because that's what stuck out. I knew that high school trip, you were really fortunate to go to Switzerland, and then to go to Montreux and see Les and Eddie with that strong chemistry they had. Oh, my gosh, that's so beautiful.
Well, check this out. At that time, I was a trombone player who always wanted to. Guitar. I wanted to be the guitarist in the band, but this guy, Rod Babka, who's a Facebook friend of mine, we stay in touch to this day. I always envied this guy. I said, man, I wish I could play guitar. He had a nice Gibson ES-335. I had something that cost maybe $19.95. and so, you know, I was, but anyway, at that time, I was basically a blues guitarist, because that's all my father listened to, basically, and soul music. So I heard a lot of B.B. King, Albert King, and I actually tried to emulate B.B. King from the onset. After I taught myself how to tune the guitar, and I purchased a little how-to-do play guitar book, and I would just copy B.B. King licks, and that was it. So I found myself working in some bands that had adults in them. And invariably, when it came time to take the solo, they pointed to me. And you know, so I was that, you know, 14, 15 years old, sounding like B.B. King. I had a tape. I can't find it. And I listened to it, and I said, oh, man. You know, I mean, I was nailing the tone and the feel.
That's awesome. Man, that must have really ingrained in your soul. That's a big deal.
Well,
there's something I'm dying to say, but go ahead.
I didn't know at the time that being a blues improviser, because even B.B. King, you know, he plays the very similarly, you know, same notes, but they're displaced. They're never at the same point. You know, if you really listen to him when he's playing live.
Yeah.
And I didn't know I was really developing skills for improvisation at the time. I just took it for granted. That's what you were supposed to do.
Well, you know, and that's because, you know, when that revelation comes to you, you realize that you have a gift. And you don't put two and two together about that, because it comes so naturally to you. That's wild.
Well, I found out how... You know, well, you're saying natural, and people were saying, you know, they were, okay, pointing at me and clapping or whatever. And I found myself now bear in mind, I played baseball and football. And my father made sure that me and my brother, we were involved in sports. And he also managed our teenage band. My parents, I didn't realize how fortunate I was till I became a teacher myself to realize the lack of the male figure in the home environment. And you know, it's ridiculous. But anyway, I was fortunate enough to have a father and a mother that supported us in all measures. I mean, we'd have high school jazz festivals; they were always there. One of my parents usually were at the PTA meetings, or that's what they call them back then. And, you know, that was normal. Being a military brat, and bear in mind, most of my friends were from that environment. But we lived in Harford County, and there was a couple of sides of the fence. You had the folks that were, say, middle class, non-military, and then you had what we call the projects. And we all went to the same school. So I always knew it just worked out naturally. I knew what side of the fence I was on, so to speak, and didn't have a problem with it. So, you know, I mean, so everyone looked like me, you know. I mean, I'm kind of light complected, but I remember telling a Puerto Rican guy, I said, "You're a Negro just like me," and he looked at me like he was amazed, because like he had the lips and everything, and I don't, right? As light as I am, and he looked like he wanted to knock my head off. I'm thinking, man, what kind of mess is that?
I know it is a mess. My gosh, that's another discussion for like a few hours, isn't it?
Right. Well, you know, I had to point those things out because, you know, a lot of times people want to they want a part of the black culture, but they're not really willing to pay the cost.
Oh,
you know,
of course.
To the food and get with the people. And I think that's kind of what's happening a lot of jazz today. Now, you have a lot of youngsters that have very good mimicking talents, and they can read. They have these access to books and transcribing machines. But you know, if you pull them to the side, you see who they keep company with. They're not really getting into the culture of the people that invented this music. So when you hear a lot of jazz these days, and say, I'm bringing this up because I'm holding the musicians accountable.
Mm. Yeah.
And so a lot of them, they're on a high horse that they think that they're owed something because they can play Charlie Parker licks. But it's deeper than that.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is. And then, you know, other folks, as you say, mimic, or there's a lot of copying and there's a lot of cloning about sounds. And honestly, I mean, I don't know what kind of Jim Jones Kool-Aid we all swallow to think that some folks are talented, but we go out and buy stuff that's mediocre, that doesn't really have heart and soul. So it's our fault, too, because we're not educated about what really good music is. And
right,
that's
not the part. That's not really the fault of the people, per se, the masses. I hold accountable the greed in the industry and those really take the art. Here's what a problem I have. Maybe you can share with me. I've always been prone to say that art is different from just being excellent. You know, your person can be an excellent technician, but not telling not one story. But an artist who can play as many notes or not a third as many notes but has a sound and tells a story is much more valuable to me as a musician.
That for you, Mark, we talk about this often. That's because when you hear certain people play, they might not be the best musicians in the world, but what you're hearing is the ring of truth. That resonates to you. And, you know, I guess I got on my high horse a little bit, too, and talked about people not figuring out what really good music is or not. Who am I to say what moves somebody, you know? I mean, because people get moved by all sorts of things. Some people really gravitate to vanilla jazz. and you know what? It has its place. Because, honestly, there are people through the years, no matter whether they were black artists or white artists, there were people who were straight-ahead artists at one time and who dabbled. They were chafing because they wanted to get out of their box. So they did jazz differently. And they brought a whole bunch of people into the fold who would have never listened to jazz otherwise. So, you know what? It's just a different way of looking at things.
And you know something, your term out of the box, I think that's very important for progress, humanity. There's a variety of ways of doing it. I've listened to straight rock. I've listened to opera, country and western. And I'm hearing things that are defying the, you know, what's the norms, per se, from all those genres at times.
Yeah, there's a lot of fusion going on, isn't there?
I think that's a good thing.
I do, and too.
I'm not a jazz purist, per se, even though I've had those experiences. And at one time was kind of inclined to really want to go that way, but it's not in me. I'm not. I'm just who I am, and that's basically. And I appreciate and respect other genres, other folks who don't look like me, their musics. I appreciate all good things.
Yep, yep. It when it speaks to your heart, and it sounds like jazz, it is. And then it doesn't even have to be called jazz, but, you know, some people like to call things a little bit differently. But I think that it's time to call out another tune by you. And I want to play A Night in Baltimore, if that's okay by you.
Okay.
Yes. You know I love this song, of course. Tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, Night in Baltimore. Well, I feel indebted to Baltimore for a few reasons, one of which is that years ago when the Sportsman's Lounge was in business.
Oh, yeah.
This was a venue or establishment that had regular Monday jam sessions. And at the jam sessions, I would, the names, Johnny Polite, Mickey Fields, those are just a few, Andy Innes, quite a few others would show up and jam with a house organist. They had a B3.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine sitting front row hearing some of that great music and then getting up on the stage and sitting in with those gentlemen. You know, that really made my day the next day and next days, and made me want to pursue the music more.
That's cool.
Because you know, every time they would play a tune I didn't know that would make me want to learn the tune. Or I'm saying, man, they're playing a lot of notes, so I need to learn how to play more notes because that made me feel good. So it really, you know, was good to get my behind spanked quite a few times. And, you know, I did it, and, you know, maybe I'm a sadist or what's it?
A masochist.
A masochist, you know. I took it, I was smiling while getting my butt smacked.
Oh, Lord. Well, that was the inspiration for A Night in Baltimore, and here is Mark Mosley, woohoo, from TLC on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. You know, I have to let everybody know. You don't know how many times I go around this house going, that is like a Baltimore anthem. This is guitarist, composer, educator, former paratrooper, Mark Mosley on the line with me, and you just heard A Night in Baltimore from TLC. You had some major players on that CD, Mark. Would you care to tell us?
Yes. Najee Allen Gums on keyboards, Mo Daniels on keyboards, as well as helping me to produce the album. Gary Granger on bass, Stanley Banks on bass, James King on bass on the upright. By the way, maybe you could play one of my The Real Deal, maybe later. But
well, we got 15 minutes, baby, so I was going to play Divine Order before we go.
Okay. Let's see. Horns. I had a New York City horn section. I had trombone, alto sax, and trumpet.
My gosh.
So, and a singer. I had a singer do a remake of a standard. So the CD is eclectic, which I am by nature. When you hear me live with my trio at the Sala Thai restaurant every Saturday from 7 to 10 over 6.5 years, 1301 U Street, Northwest, D.C., 20009, from 7 to 10 every Saturday, you'll hear not only my originals, but standards straight ahead. We do Coltrane, Woody Shaw tunes, you know, jazz guitar, upright bass, and drums.
That's beautiful.
So, you know, we're just having fun. But I'd like to... I'm hoping to get into this, find a niche, make a niche so I can pursue music full time.
Oh, I think that could be easily done, Mark. I really do. Because you know what? We always like to say in radio, because I've been doing radio since 1976, we always heard through the years that if one person says something, it usually means that 100 are thinking the same thing. So we've got a chat room going on right now, and Griselda has been here, and Kim, and Linda, and BJ, and they were all loving it. Matter of fact, you just got a message from Beej to you on your Facebook talking about how she really loves what she hears. And that means a lot. You know, I don't know what kind of steps it would take for you to make that dream come true of being involved in music full time, but you've got a wide array of listeners who are in your camp, different ages, different colors, different backgrounds. That speaks volumes for you.
Well, I want to thank you and everyone else that's listening. Can someone possibly look into finding me a good manager and booking agent? I think those capacities are really what I need right now. I'm doing my homework. I'm doing my share. I just need someone, like you said, who has the power and the connections to help me move to the next level. And I'm not asking for riches. I would just like to, at a reasonable standpoint, you know, take care of my wife and the obligations, and just basically play the music and help promote harmony.
Absolutely. I hear you. And now that you've put it out there, because you're as authentic as can be, you just put it out there, and I'll bet you're going to hear back from folks. I'm not sure who's based in Baltimore, per se, as far as doing that kind of work. But there are some real strong people that we know in Nashville, which is not just a country town, as you know. And also Atlanta, and actually in D.C. So you know what? I'm going to be putting my ear out for you. If you're serious about it, then so am I.
I'm very serious. My wife just stepped in. Can I get her to say hi? She can say we enabled her to be on air. Just say hi, hon.
Hi, Trish.
Michelle.
How you doing?
How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
And we want to all say to you, all the folks in the chat room and everybody, happy birthday to you, Michelle.
Thank you. Oh, that makes me feel so good. you.
Oh, look, we can't give you a gift over the phone or over Skype, but we can at least wish you happy birthday.
I appreciate it. It made my day.
Oh, that's great. Well, listen, every time I see you, you always make mine, and I tell Mark that whenever I see him.
Oh, you're such a charm. Thanks, Trish.
Okay,
thank
I'm
you,
back.
Michelle.
Now,
have a great time tonight. I know you guys are going to go out.
Excuse me. She told me, why am I saying that? I put something in her bathroom.
Did you?
And it's a gift. And so she's about ready to pass out, probably.
Oh, Mark. Oh, my gosh. Don't have her do that. Oh, look. Well, listen, I am so psyched. Mid-Atlantic Jazz Festival is where you are going to be tomorrow. And if anybody wants to know anywhere else you're going to be, guitarist Mark Mosley is the place on the website, right?
Right.
Okay, cool.
My wife looked at me crossing her eyes right now.
You know what? You want to give a little hint as to what you gave her. Is it something you can say? Just a little hint.
Sure. It's something that, you know how you buy things and people don't like them? She
yeah.
won't have that. As she can buy what she wants.
Right. Okay. I got it. Oh, this is so cool. You're going to do something wonderful tonight with Michelle, right?
Of course. We're
okay.
getting ready to go out as soon as we finish here.
You know what? This is kind of tough for you because this is just 2 days after Valentine's Day. You're getting worn out, aren't you?
Oh, well, you know, the wallet screams every now and then, but I have to roll with
it. That is so cool. Mark, I know that things are going to be happening for you. Things already are happening for you. If there's anything else that you want to tell us right now about what you're doing or what you would like to be doing this year, tell us.
Well, first of all, I wish that everyone has a healthy year this year.
Yeah.
And just keep their eyes on the prize and keep pushing for our truth. And I think if we work as a team, I think we can turn lots of things around. So if there's a little place in there for Mark Mosley to make some music, to make people happy, I'd appreciate any connections possible to make this thing happen.
Well, I think, speaking for all of us here, I think there's a big fat place for that to be happening. So don't you worry about that. You haven't come this far to be left high and dry. People are getting aware of you all the time. And you know what? You were just talking about your standard on the CD. I have played Misty. I love that track. I love the vocalist that you have singing that track. I have played, as a matter of fact, I have the CD right in front of me. I have played Carnival in San Juan. I have certainly played A Night in Baltimore, and I'm going to get to all of them. And we're going to get to Divine Order right now as I bid you adieu so you can spend time with your beautiful wife.
And thanks a million, Trish, and to the listening folks. I thank you for tuning in. I certainly hope to meet every one of you.
Oh, you will. And folks can listen to this interview in the archives, too. That's the beauty of Blog Talk Radio. So I'll make sure that when Blog Talk sends me the link, Mark, I'll send that to you so more of your folks and your fans and your family, whoever is looking at your Facebook page, can enjoy it.
Oh, can I mention one more thing?
Of course you can.
The gig that you saw us performing at on February the 3rd, City View,
yes.
It went so well. They gave us June the 1st and the 15th and every first Friday per month for the rest of the year.
Get out of town. Really?
Right.
Oh, that's awesome. See? Well, we'll certainly be there for some of those dates, that's for sure, and I'll make sure folks know as time goes on, too.
Thanks, Trish.
Thanks, Mark, and love to you and to Michelle, and have a wonderful night, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you very much, Trish.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's great. Yay! I knew we were going to do this on Michelle's birthday. That is so wonderful. Mark Mosley, my goodness, pick up TLC. You're going to feel really good that you did. There's some serious guitar playing there and some great vibes. And this is one of the best. Mark was talking about Divine Order before. Honey, you don't know. You don't know the positive situation you're going to get yourself into when you understand what Divine Order means. Here it is. on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy from TLC. So beautiful. Kim in our chat room sums it up. She said, you know what? This song has just taken me to a different place. I hear that. Divine Order from Mark Mosley's TLC CD. Go to guitaristmarkmosley.com and find out more about Mark and his schedule at the Mid-Atlantic Jazz Festival tomorrow. And it's, by the way, Mosley, okay? Thank you so much for being here, all of our wonderful guests in the chat room, those that wish to be anonymous. And then there is Griselda, and there's Beach, and there's Linda, and there's Kim. And we're going to have a really wonderful Tuesday, too, by the way. Make sure you tune in. We'll have two guests, which is not usually the case. But this Tuesday will be Tracy Tamlin will be with us talking about her wonderful career and some surprises in the St. Lucia jazz scenario she's involved in, and Maria Brodskaya. This is a whole other country, a whole other flavor. Oh my gosh, it's going to be wild. God bless you. Thank you so much for being there today on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. I appreciate Mark, and I appreciate everyone who has tuned in and who will tune in. Make sure you're there Tuesday, and have a wonderful weekend. Talk to you soon.